What is up, everyone? This is Press X Start Podcast, Season 5, Episode 20. We are here to transform the video game media landscape through a underserved and protected point of view, restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. And me, DJ, I am here as your host, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka Did You Know? No Man's Sky released a visual update that makes that game god tier now. You're probably wondering, why does it make that god tier? Because they have fur on the animals now. That's it.
Awesome.
I mean, there's other visual stuff, but mainly there's fur on the animals.
I always knew DJ was secretly a furry.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
This confirms it.
But I do have a dad joke.
Really?
Yes, I do. Now, everyone, let me ask you a question. Why don't you play Pokemon Go in the jungle?
Why don't you play Pokemon Go in the jungle, DJ?
There's too many life parts.
Okay.
The joke is there's too many cheetahs, uh-huh. But that's why I asked if there was a cheetah Pokemon. You see what I did there? You see what I did there?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Terrible. Anyway, I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
When I retire, I'm going to be in that 55 and active community.
Lovely.
Whoa. Wait, you can retire at 55? You got a game
plan? It's just every time I drive past those senior communities, it's like 55 plus and active. What does the active mean?
Whoa. Let your mind wander.
And it's Jordan, aka JXpot, aka the Apex Predator, aka the Psycho Knight.
Apex Predator.
You have a 4K badge.
Aka.
I rebuke you.
I don't have my 4K badge?
I highly doubt that.
Okay.
Do you? Pull it out. Whip it out. Whip it out if you do.
Oh. I thought you meant video resolution.
No.
So
I'm talking about Apex.
Oh no.
Yeah.
This is a game completely different from Apex. You know what? The last two, we'll just keep it at that. The Apex Predator and the Psychonaut. How about that?
Oh. Okay.
And I am your sort of guest, Avery Williams, the Master of Color.
Oh shit. Wait.
Wow, is that like, inclusion director? Like, did you get forced into that role or something?
Hey, man.
The diversity?
Yeah, you guys needed another black guy on this podcast.
Right.
You ain't lying.
You know what? I appreciate that. Because, Sean, your joke went a different direction from mine. And with that being said, normally we would go into what we've been playing, but today we are going to change it just a little bit because we have a lot of news to cover. So instead, we're going to actually do a quick hits first, followed by the heavy hitter, then what we've been playing. So
I don't like it.
Let's go with the quick hits. DJ, take it away. Thank you, DJ. Number one, this comes from Game Byte. God of War sequel officially delayed by Santa Monica Studios. And it's going to be delayed to 2020.
You forgot another important part of this. It's also going to be PS4 and PS5, right?
Yes. I did forget that, yes. So they are still sticking with their guns with this whole PS4 thing.
Back compat.
More power to them, I guess. It's We'll see what happens.
I don't mind that.
I mean, God of War 1 kind of feels like a next-gen game.
100%.
Like, if you look at its design, so, like, I'm not that upset about one in particular, though it was one of those things where, like, if Ratchet & Clank is, like, a 10 out of 10, then this is going to be one of those things that's going to be, like, bring me down. And I'm like, but this could have been a 12 out of 10.
One thing people need to understand is ratios. There are, like, 100 million PS4s out in the wild compared to
112 million
PS5s. So it's like, how much money are you trying to leave on the table, to be honest?
I mean,
you can't. Their investors won't
pretty much
stand for that type of business decision.
And this is a byproduct of what I said about scalpers as well.
True. But we're all forgetting that PlayStation is about generations.
It is about generations. You're right.
Speaking of generations, number two, this comes from GameSpot. Horizon not guaranteed to launch in 2021.
Well, that just sucks.
Quiet. Man. Hey, so, you know what? I'm treating this as if an incoming storm, you know? Like, if they don't have anything this year, 2022 is going to be lit.
This is true. This is true.
Man, that's going to be a rough game of the year competition in 2022.
Well, yes.
There's going to be a lot of heavy stuff that's going to drop next year.
Or I might just go to an indie game. Come on now. You know how it works.
I'm thinking like, because like there's still room for...
You mean like Returnal?
Returnal is a triple A game.
There's still room for like games we don't know about.
No, I mean, that's fine though. That's easy on our pocketbooks, our wallets. And
this is true. This is true.
They're not just vomiting out all their triple A games in 1 year. So, I mean, it's fine to space it out. It's fine. Give it time.
Yeah.
Like that Nintendo guy said, you know, a bad game is bad forever.
Yes, Shigeru Miyamoto, yeah. That Nintendo guy.
That Nintendo guy. A guy that played with bugs in his backyard.
So, there is a pull quote that came from this that kind of explained from PlayStation Studios boss Herman Hulth. And it basically just talks about, like, you know, the developers are working as hard as they can, but COVID, basically.
Yeah, they also mentioned that they're on track for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That being said, anything can happen going forward. So, like, they're not putting anything down as concrete. Like, it's coming out this year. But they're on but they're on schedule.
Anything is possible.
That H10N3 could slide over here and fuck up everything again.
I mean, this is good. Yeah. You know, like, Halo backed itself up a whole year, and these other large titles are backed themselves up a whole year. They had to. I think Cyberpunk put a shock to everybody's system. In that weird point of time where, you know, Generation 8 and Generation 9 are pretty fucking close, but there was a big performance leap between Generation 8 and 9, in my opinion.
All right. Speaking of leaps, number 3, this comes from GameSpot. Sony won't release PlayStation games on PC at launch.
For now.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so just taking a blurb from the article. I want to emphasize...
Wait. Sean, you just said something that caught my attention. What are you trying to say?
I don't remember.
Jordan, my bad.
Oh, that in the future, first-party PlayStation games will be released on PC and PlayStation 5 at the same time? Yeah.
So you think they're going to eventually move to day and date?
Eventually. Not now, but eventually. Yeah. Mm. There's money on the table. You know, like, they're seeing the performance of Days Gone, seeing the performance of other first-party games on PC. Yeah. Money moves. Money makes decisions.
That works into this quote that says, I want to emphasize that PlayStation will remain the best place to play our PlayStation Studio titles at launch.
Mm-hmm.
But we do value PC gamers, and we'll continue to look at the right time to launch each game. Ben Studio just released a PC version of Days Gone on May 18th, so that's about 2 years after the PS4 release.
I ain't mad at it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be mad about it.
Yeah, this also came from Herman Hulse as well.
I mean, like, more money leads to, like, better production and future iterations of these titles. Like, that's all it is.
Here's where I disagree with what Jordan said. The difference between PlayStation and Microsoft is that PlayStation values the PlayStation as their main driver of, of things. So the idea of them going day and date, I don't think it's ever going to happen unless sales bottom out, which we have no indication that they are going to.
Yeah.
So I do think we're gonna get situations where, like, this game comes out, we all talk about how great it is, and then 4 to 5 years later, when, like, they're working on the sequel, that's when the second the PC version comes out.
I think that's what their aim is right now.
Yeah.
I just hope that them doing this doesn't hold back, like, PS5 design. Like, they put all this work in having the haptics and the SSD and all that shit, and you can't guarantee that every PC has certain specs.
No, most PC games, like, I use my PS5 controller for my PC games, and none of them take advantage of the PlayStation 5 capabilities in any way, shape, or form.
I heard one does, I don't remember, but I'm more so talking about the SSD.
Well, this is interesting, because you say to, like, 5 years, but, Horizon Zero Dawn released 2 years ago, and now the PC version came out last year, right?
So that Horizon came out in 2017, my guy.
Oh, 2017. For some reason, I'm saying 2018.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe that there is going to be a relatively...
2017 wasn't 2 years ago. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're well into 2021, Jordan.
Hey, get it together. Pandemic, I wiped out a whole, you know, year of my existence.
I do believe that they're going to keep the cadence of, mm-hmm. for their main titles, like the main PlayStation Studio title, like the big marquees, we're going to see them release on PlayStation 5, and then especially when they're mm-hmm. building up steam for a sequel or like want to get a second burst of income, that's when we're going to see it on PC.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where this goes.
Especially because I think Death Stranding is the only like caveat to what I just said, but PlayStation didn't publish that game on PC.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Well,
all sounds like fun. I will be getting my PlayStation games on my PlayStation 5 because, damn it, I took forever to get a goddamn... Anyways, number four. This comes from Pure Xbox. Oh, this is a rumor, guys. The Outer Worlds 2 may be announced at Xbox's E3 2021 showcase.
So, in pre-production, I was saying, who gives a shit about this? But apparently, at least 2.5 million people did, so... You know.
That's well, more see. Than two.
That would be a pretty short turnaround then, from the first one and Obsidian.
The first one came out, what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
I think
ago?
In this case it is 2 years ago. Or maybe yeah. 2018. I don't know.
I think it's 2019. I think it's a 2019 game.
I don't
October 25th, 2019.
I feel like they can do something where they just show a teaser for it and they say it's going to be released fall of 2022.
Well, the issue I have with this is that Obsidian is working on like five different games apparently right now.
That's also mm-hmm. true, yep.
Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. unless Xbox decided to pour hundreds of millions of dollars for them to staff up and have multiple teams working in concert, this is something we're hoping to do going forward. Like, we're prototyping things that maybe we'll use going forward for Outer Worlds.
Yeah, do you think this will come out before Avowed?
No.
Right, okay.
Well,
I think this may come out, or at least around the same time as Avowed. If we give Avowed a 2023 window, I see this coming out between the turnover of 2022 to 2023, depending on how long they've been working on it. Because they were able to make The Outer Worlds with a fairly small studio, but now with Microsoft's financial backing, they would be able to be resourced appropriately to have a game come out in a more timely manner after using the same techniques when they were smaller.
Mm, okay. I'll accept that. Number five, this comes from VGC, aka Video Game Chronicles. Final Fantasy producer believes 5G will attract players away from... What the fuck?
Hey, man.
He sounded like Jordan 2 years ago.
Hey, we're here with all these cloud services, so...
All right, so that's according to a report by the Financial Times paywall, which claims that the Square Enix executive stated that the improved streaming speeds would herald the long-term demise of the dedicated game consoles.
I doubt that. We still got people in third world countries, India, Brazil, all that good stuff.
Literally these type of quotes come out every generation. And then every generation, we buy more and more consoles.
Here's the thing that's dumb about...
I do think there's going to be a...
No, go ahead, Avery. Go ahead.
I do think there will be a point where console boxes aren't going to be the wave. But I don't think this is anytime soon.
Well, it's like, you know, you have Google Stadia already rolled out. You have Luna coming out. You have game.
Luna's out.
Yeah, Luna out. Like, so it's already here. It's still like, it's kind of like where Netflix was when it first started. That's best I can put it. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was still fairly small, but then within that 6 month window of it being initiated properly, then it really started to pick up speed. So because of current chip constraints, it'll be interesting to see how consumers react to accessing, like, you know, new generation titles is the best way I can put it. Seeing that there is like a clear...
People are going to be
like,
hurt.
It's not a demand. It's a clear supply shortage of that type of pathway for games. If you can just turn on your phone and install an app, of course, there's some latency issues that, you know, continue to be improved upon, at least where it was 2 years ago. People may go for that option.
But here's my...
That's not the issue.
Here's my thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
5G is also going to improve console performance as well. Because it's going
to... And it's going to give you COVID.
At the same time.
So like, those consoles that interface through the internet via wireless?
Yeah.
Or through their modems But modems are usually attached, like, with a router into the person's cable line.
I'm more so just talking about when it comes to playing games and the whole network stuff on top of just being able to download your games quicker. Like, this is... It's fine to have this thought and to, like, kind of, you know, be wary of the future, but consoles are a thing that's going to stick around for a very long time, mainly because of whoever said it earlier, like, not everyone can buy a PC, so it doesn't really matter if 5G is here and popping. If you don't have the money to get a PC that can run something because you need a $200 or a $2,000 graphics card,
I mean,
then, like,
they can go the Stadia route in which you're not doing any of the heavy lifting. My issue is we still have greedy companies worldwide over that charge you overages.
That's
you
understandable.
Data caps.
Yeah, data, the data pricing issue.
It's going to be a long, long time before we hit this.
And then one more thing is that ultimately it's all about games.
It is, yeah.
And for the most part, unless both Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo all say, fuck it, we're not doing consoles, the only way you can get the games that you come to these consoles for on a streaming platform, then I don't necessarily think there is much real, not there is life, but like that convergence point where we're suddenly like, all right, consoles are done. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
There's too many leaps of logic that has to be made in order for this to work out, because this is a very pro consumer thing. And, you know, we know from experience that only works when the company is making money off of it as well.
I believe through xCloud, you're able to install the game onto your phone. It's not necessarily streaming anymore. Like, you do have the option to install the information associated with an application to the phone.
Interesting.
That is incredibly weird, and I'd have to look more into that. Because theoretically speaking, my 60 gig phone shouldn't be able to run most Xbox games natively.
No, fine. You can fact check me on that one.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Okay. You know, we'll see what happens here, but, you know, okay, cool. Guy, just make Final Fantasy 16. Number six! This comes from IGN. Mm-hmm. Ball and Wonderworld creator unexpectedly leave Square Enix.
Yuji Naka, roll the fuck out.
I mean, the quote was, he said that Ball and Wonderworld was his last chance to make a 3D platformer. And for all accounts, that game was not great.
Mm-hmm.
So this is
unsurprising. Was that supposed to be a swan song?
It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be his, like, hey, these games, I can still make these games, Square, support me so I can keep making these games. And I heard nothing but jokes about Balan. So
did you play the demo?
No, I don't. We talked about this. I don't play demos.
Real quick. Every time I hear swan song, when I was a kid, I would replace the swan song with thong song. So I'd say, that's swan.
Wow.
So he wouldn't get in trouble in front of his mother.
I wish I could exist in your head right now, DJ. You'd be having the time of your life.
It's a crazy place. There's a lot of stairs. Number seven. This comes from IGN again. Battlefield appoints ex-Call of Duty exec to help grow the series. Nice. So, EA has appointed a new general manager for the Battlefield franchise to help grow the series. He previously served the same role for Call of Duty and Destiny. EA announced today that Byron Beattie has joined Battlefield as SVP and GM and signals a strategic long-term commitment to the growth of the franchise. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. You know, we're actually going to get a Battlefield reveal by the time this airs, unless you are looking at it by streaming, which is special people are, you know, shout out to them. But so this is cool for them. I think this is good news for Battlefield going forward. Mm-hmm. All the good stuff. Jordan, how you feel about this?
Yeah, Battlefield 5 was underwhelming. Battlefield 1 was pretty good. You know, like, going into World War 1, even though all the weapons in that game were fake for the time. But, yeah, no, we're trying to get at least they're trying to get Battlefield back to its prime, which would be Battlefield 4. But some would say Bad Company 2, like that era. And, Call of Duty was able to turn around with Modern Warfare. Like, that felt kind of fresh, even though it was a bit of a remake. The themes of that game were more mature and less cartoony and Michael Bay-ish, right? So, yeah, Battlefield 6. If there's no Call of Duty this year, this may be the first person to play for the fall.
Cool. All right, number 8. Far Cry 6 features third-person gameplay so players can connect to Danny and their adventure.
Well, I wouldn't say gameplay.
But actually, yeah. No, it ain't gonna be no third-person gameplay, my guy. I mean, you'll pop out a third-person from time to time. But
so yeah, it's just cutscenes, right? Where you can actually see your character?
And not sure, like, walking around.
Yeah, and when she does certain actions,
All right, cool. Number 9 comes from Nintendo Live. Nintendo wants to know if you would fork over $50 for a new WarioWare game. Sean.
Yes.
All right, good. Number 10. This comes
No. Real quick. No, just real quick. Apparently, they've been doing surveys, and that's not the only price point they've been throwing out there.
Oh. Is that like...
So apparently, they've been throwing out, you know, 30, 40... 45, 50.
30 sounds good.
Whatever.
30 sounds
good. Well, it's going to be one of those situations where they release it for, like, you know, 2 months and then take it off forever. Like, fucking crazy, crazy, sadistic people. That's fucked up, man. That's fucked up shit.
The Mario thing, yeah.
That was the Disney route. You know how Disney has a Disney vault?
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they say for a limited time only,
Nintendo learned from the best, clearly. That was some fuck shit.
Yep.
Well, not necessarily learn from Disney. You remember the Blue Ocean strategy, where Nintendo controlled the scarcity of their games in order to maintain the price and things of them? I think this is an evolution of that in an all-digital age, where they theoretically can't control the distribution, but they can control the window in which it's distributed.
That's a good point.
That's bananas.
Speaking of bananas, number 10. This comes from Polygon. Balenciaga. I nailed it, right?
Sure.
PS5
Balenciaga.
You hold the shit.
So they have a PlayStation 5 shirt that costs more than a goddamn PlayStation 5. That's stupid. Number 11.
Flex.
But yeah, like,
DJ, your sound broke.
Oh. Well, yes. But yeah, they have a PS5 shirt that costs $675. That's so fucking dumb.
Would you buy
if
they had like a collaboration with, I think, what's that, Den of Thieves or whatever the underwear maker is, and they're PS5 ones, would you buy them? Because those are some good underwears.
Oh, like MeUndies?
Kind of like those. They might have been like this. I mean, like, high quality underwear I'd go for than high quality shirts.
Speaking of MeUndies, we're brought to you by
Oh, really? yeah, I would absolutely buy MeUndie PlayStation. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, or PlayStation MeUndies, yes, I'd absolutely buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you buy a Balenciaga Gundam PS5 shirt?
Losers.
I mean... I refuse to spend over $100 for any piece of clothing. Unless it's like a full pea suit.
Wait, you said $100?
I refuse to pay over $100 for a piece of clothing. Unless it's like a full... Like a full suit.
What about Jordans?
That's a rental.
I don't buy Jordans.
Or are you just robbing for those like a normal person?
No, I've worn Chuck Taylors for the last 10 years of my life because I know I can get a good pair for like $30.
I have never owned a pair of Chuck Taylors.
You're stupid, DJ. For specificity's sake, the t-shirt is $675.
Yikes.
If it had Gundam on it.
Mm.
Number 11. This goes for a pure Xbox. Deep Silver confirms Dead Island, Saints Row, Metro, and Time Splitters won't be at E3. I like how they just throw Time Splitters just, you know.
Then what's the point of E3 then if we can't have a new Saints Row? Small bullshit.
Cancel it.
Throw it in rice.
Throw the whole thing in rice.
You know what's funny is I had Time Splitters way back in the day, and it was
a fun game.
I was ass at first person shooters back then, though, so I never beat the game.
It's so funny though, like, because I remember Time Splitters and GoldenEye like next to each other, and I know they didn't release next to each other, but like, I guess in my little friend group then, we played, it was GoldenEye, and then when Time Splitters came out, we were kind of bouncing between the two games. And like, yeah, like my, I'm guessing the controls are different, right? Because like my skills did not carry from GoldenEye to Time Splitters.
Theoretically, they should be, since Time Splitters should have been a twin stick shooter instead of a
single stick. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this in between you breakdancing on a cardboard, DJ?
Nah, it was at the same time. Multitasking.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I used to always get Time Splitters mixed up with Time Crisis. I used to get those two properties mixed up all the time.
Oh, my
all
God.
The time. I confuse my time.
All right. Well, that is it for our quick hits. And before we get to our heavy hitters, we got a word from our sponsors. The Press X to Start YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe there and hit that bell icon button thing. This is all new to me.
Smash that like button, guys.
There you go. Do it. Smash it. Make sure you use protection, though.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X number 2 Start, at Instagram at Press X number 2 Start, and Twitter, Press X number 2 S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to Start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
All right. And we're back. Now it is time for the heavy hitters. DJ, that's you again. Me? All right. Number one, this comes from Forbes. Actually, this doesn't come from Forbes. Forbes just reported on it. I should probably change up my lingo for that. Anyways, all the 2K games that leaked.
Paul Tassi? Paul Tassi from Forbes.com?
Yes, that's me. How did you know? All right, all the 2K games that leaked ahead of E3. So basically, there was this big leak, and now we have a good number of games that we know are supposed to come out from 2K. The first one is NBA 2K22. I'm not exactly sure.
What a surprise.
Yeah, like, cool. All right. The next one, the next one is titled Wonderlands. So, this game is actually supposed to be a Borderlands spinoff title featuring Tiny Tina. She had DLC before, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
She had the DLC in 2, which was the Dungeons & Dragons thing. Mm-hmm. And if
it was very good.
If they're taking that direction and making a Borderlands spinoff with that, I am down. I'm down whatever, because it's a Borderlands right. game. But, like, if it's going to be in that vein, I am down.
Because, like, Tiny Tina was her character was minimalized heavily compared to the second Borderlands game. Well, like, the second Borderlands was when she first debuted. But in the third one, she was not as a prominent of character as the previous iteration.
She's really in, like, one small session. You get a couple of missions from her, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands 3 was really more interested in selling their new young female protagonist and not Tiny Tina, who's not tiny anymore.
Grown ass woman. So
Randy Pitchford is a questionable person.
100%.
What's your thoughts on the whole Wonderland title? It's supposed to be titled Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Yeah, I mean, based on what Avery said, it's kind of going on that route of like a whimsical expansion, just shooting at shit.
Okay.
That's all it needs to be. That's all fucking Borderlands needs to do. Just come out with DLC and shut up and move on. You know, like
he's not wrong,
right? You hear that?
There's
gearbox?
Nothing Borderlands needs to change. Nothing at all. Just keep the DLCs.
Oh my gosh! All right. The next game, we're gonna actually skip that. We're gonna make that one be the last one we talk about. The next game is codenamed Vault. It's a new action game. Seems to be in really early development. Logo looks similar to a Fallout logo. No final name yet. Sources described it as Cthulhu meets Saint Row.
That
Saint
is so. Rose. I don't know if that's terrible or awesome. I just can't tell.
What the hell is that mean?
I just can't tell if that's terrible or awesome right now.
Yeah, that's.
It sounds terrible.
Yes.
All I'm saying.
Very much so. I'm very intrigued.
All I'm saying is that at some point in time, there needs to be a giant Godzilla-level looking Cthulhu in the background as you're doing some crazy shit. Because if they don't have that, then I don't want to fuck with it.
Well, Saints Row 4 had, like, you going against a giant Pepsi mascot or whatever. and you embody them, so you have like a little Cthulhu experience. But
okay,
I don't know. They don't know. This is what venture capitalism does to games. All right, it sucks the creativity out of it, because that's what THQ Nordic is. Like, THQ Nordic is a straight up venture capitalist company. That's what ZeniMax was. Mm-hmm. They're owned by one of the Trump family owned part of ZeniMax, and Mitt Romney owns a part of the venture capitalist firm that owns THQ Nordic. When THQ was liquidated and went under,
yikes,
came THQ Nordic, and they're just bullshitting good titles.
Huh.
Fuck them.
But back to Codename Vault, which is being made by 2K. Uh-huh. this is being made by Hangar 13?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Mafia 3 team?
Yeah.
So, this is one of those things where I need to see more of this game before I, like, get hyped for it. Because, like, Mafia 3 was a game where they told a really cool, interesting story, but apparently didn't really know how to make an actual, like, compelling game around that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confident in their storytelling ability, and Cthulhu is always great for, like, the Lovecraft mythos is always great for telling really interesting, mind-bending stories. But them describing it as Saints Row implies that's the, like, the bent they're going with gameplay. And, like, only Saints Row can do Saints Row.
I was gonna say,
not to see it. It's, like, super cringe.
I actually had to look up who made Saints Row. It's not Hangar 13, it's Volition. So
yeah, it's Volition.
The moment I hear Saints Row, my mind automatically goes to THQ Nordic and that fuckery over there.
So, yeah, this is just, it's all kinds of weird. But yeah, we don't really know much about this. So, you know, whenever the ball drops and we'll see it and then we'll talk about it. The last game we want to talk about, though, is the new Firaxis game, codename Coda. Cool code name. New turn-based action game using Marvel property. Source described it as XCOM with Marvel superhero or Marvel heroes.
Fuck yes. Inject it into my veins, DJ.
So this is actually like, this is something I really wish this wasn't leaked, because this sounds really cool. And I'm a weird case because I absolutely love RTS games, but I never give them time.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think there's a difference between RTS and what XCOM is. RTS is like Civilization.
Yeah. Well, how would you describe it?
XCOM is still a turn-based strategy game.
Yes, tactical. It's more like Disgaea, a tactical turn-based RPG.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, I really love those games, and I just never able to like give time to it. But like, I think this would be the game that I can be like, all right, I'm going to spend time with this, because this is an intersection of two things that I really enjoy.
I've been playing a lot of Firaxis games recently, like Stellaris, mm-hmm. Civilization.
I try to work for them. Old time. They're
I did as well. Yeah, they're in Baltimore. Yeah, they're in
Baltimore.
And, I was doing another playthrough of XCOM, and yeah, I mean, personally, I would love for them to just do an XCOM 3. Just personally instead, because I just really love the XCOM, you know, universe. But if they can transpose all of the themes and concepts of XCOM into this new Marvel themed strategy game, then I'm for it. You know, like, I think some people who aren't familiar with strategy games like that or turn-based strategy may be turned off, because like, you might have to ready your Hulk or put Black Widow on Overwatch or some shit like that, and then the enemy team will do their moves and then you do your moves, and I think some people may be turned off by that, but if they give it a shot, you might have a very enjoyable experience.
I think this is the brilliance of what Marvel Games' strategy is. Like, because this is going to be a Marvel game, people are going to be immediately interested in it and give it a shot because it's got the Marvel trappings on it. And even if they don't like it, Marvel Games is still putting out Avengers. They still have Ultimate Alliance 3 on the Switch. They still have both the Spider-Man games, the Guardians of the Galaxy game that is in development right now, and who knows what else they've already worked on that, for the most part, are all super different and diverse in the gameplay and everything like that.
John, you got anything to say?
No.
Oh.
I see it being trash. Cyberpunk. Don't get hyped for it. Cyberpunk got us hype. Played Avengers. That was shit.
Sean, do we ever believe in hype ever again? Are you like banning hype for all properties or just select one?
Only for pre-existing stuff from trusted people.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was the issue with Cyberpunk.
You're not wrong.
Well, I didn't play The Witcher. so I didn't trust them. I didn't trust them new niggas over there.
Oh, jeez. All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all excited to see all this stuff except for NBA 2K2, 2K20, whatever.
And if you think we're excited, you're racist.
Whatever he said.
Dirk is for the culture. He was out there marching, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Don't
quote me. I was just saying because we're four black dudes and it's a basketball game. Oh, yeah.
Right? Nailed it.
What is basketball? All right.
So,
with football.
With that being said, normally I'd end the podcast, but we got one more segment, which is the what we've been playing. This feels weird, guys. So,
Marcus, you can flip it around.
He's like, what happened?
No, we can ride with this. You know, it's okay to be flexible. So with that being saying, Avery, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of games recently, but more recently, I got back into the Mass Effect collection.
Okay.
I am...
Why do you say it like this?
I forgot how much I dislike Mass Effect 1.
Really? Mm. Oh, you know, that's fine.
Like, from...
I'm not going to fight you on that.
No, from a game design and presentational standpoint, oh, this game is great. But then I remember how it controls, and I'm like, oh, man, I just want to play 2 and 3. Mm. Hell, I want to play even Andromeda at this point.
Well, come on.
Dang.
Don't go that far, man. Don't go that far.
Do you replay it just to keep your player choices to transfer over to 2?
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, I'm playing through the entire collection. Like, that's my gameplay. So I'm starting this new character, and I'm using that going forward.
Yeah, so I'm saying it'll transfer to 2,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're not doing Legendary.
No, I am doing the Legendary collection.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing the original one. So that those are the ones I was playing through at the beginning of the year. I'm not buying Legendary until later.
And I'm enjoying it, but it's one of those things where like I just want to get through this so I can get to 2. And then at the same time, because I like if I'm playing multiple games, I want to have multiple games be like different speeds. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like playing a 60-hour RPG and then playing another 60-hour RPG and just hating myself. So, like, I went on the PlayStation Network, found 2 games from, like, a couple years ago. Celeste, which is a super hard game, and, like, if I get through Celeste without using any of its assist modes, will be a feat. And 2...
It has assist modes?
Yeah. Like, it is a game where, like, if you go into the main menu before you start, it has an assist mode that will, like, give you 100 lives, like, allow you to slow down time, do a bunch of stuff to make it not hard.
I just beat that a couple weeks ago.
You didn't know about the assist mode?
It's kind of an easier.
Then I'm playing Journey to the Savage Planet, is a relatively short, like, No Man's Sky-esque adventure game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this looks exactly like No Man's Sky. Yeah.
Everything looks like No Man's Sky to DJ right now.
Not wrong.
I'm having a fun time playing it, but this game needs a map.
Oh, there's no... Okay.
There's no map. So, like, waypoints... Like, you have your compass above you, and that's where it will tell you where all your waypoints are. But up until you get, like, the ability to scan objects, you'll never know where a waypoint is and relative to yourself. And then, because there's no map, navigation is always relatively annoying. Mm. But other than that, I'm enjoying my time playing it.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, you said short, right? You haven't beaten it yet. Do you know how long...
From what I estimated, because I'm playing it also for trophies, so the estimated time is somewhere between 8 to 11 hours.
Oh.
Right now,
that's not bad.
Right now, I'm at hour 8, and I think I have maybe one more world, or I'm actually at the last world right now. So we'll see.
What
are you talking about, Celeste? Still?
For Celeste,
Journey.
Journey. I'm talking about Journey.
So what's the point of Journey?
Well, it's you crash on an alien world and you're exploring it to gather resources to escape the alien world.
Got you. Okay.
So it's sort of like No Man's Sky. The point of the game was to stay on the original planet you crashed on.
Right. All right, that works. Sean, how about you? What you been playing?
Yeah, I've been playing Returnal. I got the secret ending. I'm trying to get the platinum, but they... This is one area I think they messed up on.
I told you.
So in order to platinum the game, they have what they call these survey trophies. And you have to find these scout logs from her previous timelines or whatever that are littered about. and also like some ciphers, you know, so you can decipher the alien language, what have you. The issue is they're not, since the rooms are randomly generated.
The trophy is RNG.
The trophy is RNG because the specific logs are tied to those specific rooms, and you may not get that room all the time.
Yikes.
They're hard-coded to certain rooms, which they should not have
done.
Sean, I have one question. Huh? Were you winning, son?
Those are literally the last things I'd like to platinum it, but
It's fundamentally taking a platinum that should be like 10 to 12 hours and turning it into a 100-hour platinum.
I have heard some people said they've done 100 runs on the first biome.
That's unsettling.
To find the first thing.
Bruh.
And the actual log that people are looking up for, Scout Log number 9, actually has like a super high drop rate in the beginning of the game if you don't pick up a certain item.
So you'd have to like play the whole thing over again.
I may cheat the system somehow. I may cheat the system. I'm not sure.
You will find a way. I believe that. You have you've served many rules.
Like I save scummed my way to a platinum on Binding of Isaac, which shouldn't have been possible, but the way they implemented it on PlayStation, it was. Other than that, I played Operation Tango.
Operation Tango
with the friend of the show, Casey.
Hey. First time, long time.
So this is a asymmetrical co-op. Like, there is no single player mode whatsoever in this. And it's only online.
Okay.
But I do think it has cross play with whatever other system it's on. Are you massaging your own shoulders, sir?
No, I was stretching. But that does feel good, though.
So, let's say I'm a hacker. I'm in a room, and in one instance, there were four or five terminals in a room, and there were lasers that were alternating where they were in the room. And I had to activate a terminal and read off a code to the other person who is... All they can see is like a computer monitor. They can't see what I'm doing. There's a lot of times... Like, there was another scenario where there was just a grid, and I can see him as a dot on the grid. And I had to make squares for him to walk on, you know, to get to the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the first section of it is straightforward, but then when you get to the second section, apparently, like, I didn't realize what the hell was going on. All I can see is the dot, and then I'm dropping down squares, and then they vanish.
Oh, and just keep moving.
Because there's, like, there are these sweepers that just erase all your progress. So you can also fall into an empty space, or they can just kill you. And as you're playing this level... You can communicate with your partner, but then eventually it just fades out and you have no idea what the hell is going on.
Oh.
It's done intentionally.
Yeah.
It's done intentionally. It's an odd game, but it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool concept. Okay. It's free this month on PlayStation Plus.
Did you beat it or you just like play a little bit of it?
We played the first two levels and then you can you can choose which side you want to be on. So you can be the hacker or you can be the secret agent.
Okay.
And apparently this game wants you to play both sides because there's a trophy for playing, you know, level one is a hacker, level one is the agent, vice versa, right. Whatever. So they want you to experience the full thing.
Did you play both sides or you just played?
Yeah, we tried both sides.
Okay, all right. So I guess my question is, did one side seem more fun than the other?
No, because you alternate.
Okay.
Kind of. So at first I thought only the agent would be doing something physical and the hacker would only be looking at a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, like that grid with the dot thing, normally, you know, the hacker would be doing that. But the secret agent was actually doing that and the hacker was moving about.
Gotcha.
So they switched roles. I'm not too sure how much because I only did like the first two levels.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'd say check it out though.
I'll have to download that. Jordan, what have you been playing? What you been doing?
I'm going through that Game Pass addiction. So they had Maneater come on Game Pass a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Played it, beat it. Solid game. You know, a lot of what Sean talked about last year is true. You know, it's just kind of a, I'm gonna say mindless romp, but yeah, you're playing a fucking shark that's eating people and other sharks and gators, and stronger you get, the more, notoriety you have.
Okay.
Would you play DLC?
Maybe. We'll see.
Is that not out yet? Mm-hmm. Or is it still...
What, the DLC?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I think they just hinted at it.
True that.
But, that was a fun game.
Okay.
Another Game Pass game I'm playing is MechWarrior 5. Playing that on my PC.
MechWarrior 5.
And, woo, that game is Unforgiven. you will fuck up your playthrough early if you do not prepare yourself for some of these missions.
Yep.
So it's a whole economy, like, thousand years to the future. You have, like, various warring clans controlling parts of the galaxy, and you're a mercenary taking on contracts. Some of them are, like, bounty hunting and assassination, defending a point, rescuing people, whatever the fuck. You hire pilots and you maintain their mechs. They have various skill points you must invest in or understand what they're best at, you know? Having an unexperienced pilot.
I'm good with knitting.
Yeah.
And only knitting.
Because, like, I think one of the mechanics is the larger the mech, the more experienced the pilot must be.
Makes sense.
You know, if the pilot's not experienced enough, then they're not going to be effective. So I went through this one mission, which I'm trying to understand the UI and how difficulty is conveyed in terms of, like, you know, the severity of the
they hide how hard the mission is.
You know what? That is a short way of saying that. Because I came in and, like, we were four. I mean, because you can be up to four companions, and we were four deep. And they were all maxed out. Like, I was ready. Like, yo, let's stomp this shit out. Let's go. You know, like, I was feeling good because our previous mission, I made like 1 million credits off of, which is mad money time. But I went up with this mission, and the mission was to jump a motherfucker. Like, just jump him. You know, take him out, take out his mech. And
I like those missions.
You wouldn't like this one, because we see him and all these drop ships come down and start dropping other mechs. We were severely outnumbered. They targeted me because they knew that I was the fucking leader of the group.
And the guy was like, you thought you were the main character?
But they fucked me up real good. The mech was destroyed. I evac'd. No one died, thank God. They should have died. But no one died, because people can die. That's just it. And
that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, like that put me in a 2 million credit hole. I had like 2,500,000 credits. Like, I couldn't afford rent that month.
My man had to fight on foot.
I lost all my money. I couldn't repair my mechs. But thank God that save system was very forgiving. I was able to get like a couple saves before. But yeah, lesson learned. I went online. They're like, yo, this game is about saving. Like, just straight up. That was the Reddit.
Yo, Jordan's at the repair shop, like, what can I afford?
And he's like, yeah, I can afford a fucking arm.
We got duct tape and aluminum foil. Good luck.
I could afford one rib. That's what I could afford. Is one rib and some soda in the hand. So,
soda in the hand?
You're showing your age.
But that was MechWarrior. Well, we'll see. We'll see how much that game keeps my attention. But it's fun so far. It's pretty. It's very good. Beautiful game. Very beautiful game.
Actually, I watched before you jump to the next game. I watched a Let's Play of that just to see what was popping. And MechWarrior is definitely MechWarrior.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh yeah.
That's not for you. You're gonna take the lumbering Gundam.
Turns from that.
It's the thing. It's one of those things where I could play it, but like, it's too much for me to try and play, because I'd have to get Game Pass or try to do it on PC, and like, I'm not gonna play it on PC. Like, I'd have to play it on my PlayStation. So, but yeah.
Hey, maybe in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But last game I'm playing, because I'm not gonna talk about Watch Dogs. The only reason I'm playing Watch Dogs is because they had the 4K, the 60 frames per second option, and I was like, all right, well, this does not improve that game's core mechanics, so what the fuck am I doing? You know? But I'm going to beat it. I'm just going to beat it. Like,
this is shit in 4K.
They do have that zombie expansion thing, but it's a PC alpha right now.
Not going to go into that. But I playing Psychonauts in preparation for Psychonauts 2. Before the podcast, I was saying they don't make platforms like this anymore. Like a solid state, you know, clear, succinct experience. No seasons, no fucking microtransactions. The game developers had to make a game to be sold, and hopefully it was good. Like, it just felt more so back in Generation 7 or whatever, Generation 7 or 6. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. Psychonauts is fun. I'm looking forward to the second one when that comes out.
That's what's up. All right, and to wrap this up, the games that I have been playing. So, last week, I believe, they released a Scarlet Nexus demo. And I thought, I like how this game looks. I'll try the demo. So, currently, I've played the demo once. I played the demo once, 1.5 times. It's fine. Because I haven't played, like, I guess, quote-unquote, anime game, like... Mm-hmm. In such a long time. I don't know else how to describe, like, it's a...
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Like, because I haven't played, like, one of those games in such a long time, like, it... I just kind of forgot, like, oh, okay, this is kind of how it's supposed to feel or how it feels. And it's fine. Like, my only gripe with the controls was that, like, the combos felt really rigid. Like, you're supposed to do this thing into that thing. And I thought it would be a bit more flexible just for the fact that it's 2021. But again, I don't play these games very often, so I'm not exactly sure what their evolution or whatever is.
I mean, specifically for Scarlet Nexus, I think it's the exact same team that did Code Vein.
Oh, okay. And of course, I didn't play that. So I And that was the Dark Souls kind of game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that actually kind of makes sense now. Okay, I get it now. One of the things of this game that is, I'm not exactly sure if this is also in Code Vein, but like you get 4 assist characters and you can summon them while you're fighting the enemies to buff your character's abilities, or you can actually call them in to do a special attack. It's really flashy, it's really cool, it's very much so peak anime. Am I going to get the full game? Probably not. It didn't really do enough for me to really pique my interest to that point. But I had a good time playing it. I might play it again just for, shits and giggles. And maybe, actually, at that point, I would probably have more experience and I'd be able to experience other things in the game. That was Scarlet Nexus. No Man's Sky. So as I said earlier... they released this visual patch, but specifically, they had this expedition which ended with you unlocking the Normandy from Mass Effect. And I got that bad boy, and the...
Can you go inside of it?
No, you can't go inside of it. So, it's kind of weird, because it's a cool, like, get, like, oh, cool, you got the Normandy, but, like, you can really just send it on missions, and in No Man's Sky... You send frigates on missions and they basically come back with a report of where they've been in terms of the universes they traveled and what rewards or what difficulties they had. So it's an S-class frigate, so that's really cool. And I haven't sent it out because I really haven't had time to go back to play No Man's Sky because of Gundam. All right, guys. So let me... Everyone, strap in because we're going on a ride, and this was a wild ride.
No, I'm leaving the ride. I'll watch you guys go around that roller coaster, but fuck
Jordan,
that shit.
Jordan, you're already in the seat, guy. I've duct taped you and aluminum foil. You're already there. Yeah, you're already there.
Trash. Fuck trash.
So, okay. Gundam released a new campaign, which involved. So in Gundam, there are quick matches and then there are rated matches. Rated matches, of course, are rated. You have a rank and, you know, you unlock certain things at different ranks. So I'm currently ranked A- in ground, and I started this ranked like C in space. And basically, I vow that I will never play space because I absolutely hate space. And I just... As much as I like controls, space is just really, really hard. It's really hard because you are essentially, if anyone who played Armor Core knows how you had to use the shoulder buttons to aim, essentially like L1, R1 was your left and right, and R2 and L2 was your up and down. Essentially, you're aiming. That's one of the reasons why I love Armor Core, because it was so technical. And I felt like playing Gundam in space, it has the same level of technical gameplay. So when you're in it and when you're doing it, it's fucking beautiful because your fingers are just going and you are just like, everything slows down. You're just hitting targets. And I just thought like I would never like reach that level. Guys, I fucking reached that level. I got the space rating of A-, and boy, the last. So, okay. It's not as straightforward. Basically, I think it's like Overwatch where if you lose match, that subtracts from your rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's like most games of a rank system losing.
Okay.
Subtract from your elo.
So basically that was happening to me. And the difficulty behind this is that I am soloing this game. So I'm not playing with a group. I'm just playing with random people. And there was many a times where people just didn't care. So they were just playing all willy-nilly in a rated match versus just doing quick matches. And you could tell because people would just be kind of off on their own on the map, like fighting people and dying versus sticking with the team and, you know, doing what you're supposed to do in the game. So I reached B plus and I would basically just bounce between B minus and B plus, or between B and B plus, and just I just couldn't get the cumulative wins to get the A minus, and I finally got it. So I actually recorded the video because one of the matches I
don't upload that shit to the goddamn page.
Guess what, Sean? I mean, I might not because it just requires so much work, but still, if I do, I was fucking Amaro Ray. I was zipping around shooting people. Oh my gosh, it was a beautiful thing. And actually, when I've got the A minus, you unlock this this new suit that has a special ability that can like turn around in an instant. Whatever. That part is cool, but that the part. Point is I actually got the A minus rating and I am never playing a space match now, and that's how it's gonna be.
Wait, so there's no downranking?
No, there is. So like basically I reached the A minus ranking, and if I play another match and I lose, I'll go back to B plus.
Oh, I'm talking about more like if you don't play, your rank will automatically.
Oh, no, it stays. But they have a S ranking in the game now, and it works that way. So if you don't play random matches, you will drop down to, I guess, A plus.
A.
Yeah, it's A minus A, A plus, and it's that for each ranking.
TJ, are you on the Gundam subreddit?
I am, actually.
People can be as excited.
I am, yes. And
are you on the Gundam subreddit or the actual Gundam game that you're playing subreddit? Because they're two different
Avery,
things.
I'm glad you asked. I am on about four Gundam different subreddits.
Oh my god.
But yeah, and like this was just a clusterfuck for everyone because no one really plays space matches. So everyone's just like, oh my god, I can't believe they did this. And everyone has just been grinding this shit out because it's not impossible. It's just really, really hard to do. And I did it. So badge of honor right there.
I'm proud of you, DJ.
Thank you.
I'm not.
That's fine. You're muted. You've been muted this entire time. Anyways, with that being said, this has been another episode of Press X Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode visually and audibly. That's a word now. As much as we enjoyed making it.
Mother.
Don't forget the rating reviews on your favorite podcasting apps. And also like and subscribe and share on our YouTube channels. And for the people who have been watching this, thank you very much for watching it. You guys are cool. Oh my god, look at my hair. What the fuck?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but
what the fuck?
I don't want to distract.
Oh, you got an alfalfa.
There we go. With that being fixed and that being said, actually we are going to be doing this again, but for the Microsoft showcase come E3 time. So
Microsoft check Bethesda that. Showcase.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't forget Bethesda because two peas in a pod. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this, and if you are doing anything else to this, make sure you like and subscribe, share with your friends. And tell the masses because it's going to be a fun ride. Peace out. Stay sane.